Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
The fuck is this? I'm like, oh, hey, well, hey, everybody, welcome, ladies. The fuck is that? Oh, that's a stain. Okay, I was like freaking out for a moment there. I was like, what's that brown shit right there in that glass? And then I realized, oh, that's liquor. But like a darker stick, whatever, people. Anyway, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather. Hey, you know what? I don't want to drink out of that motherfucker now.
Say, man, you gotta wash your damn glasses.
Yeah, we ain't drinking out that motherfucker or whatever.
Yeah, say, man, shit might be infected.
Oh, you know what it is? Never mind, people. Never mind. Damn it. It's the fucking the coaster and the koozie around it or whatever and shit.
Ah, so, gotcha.
I'm seeing the reflection of the bottom of that.
Okay,
shit,
I was gonna say, man.
Like, hold on.
I don't want you sipping out of that shit and turn into fucking, what do you call those things? Last of Us?
Oh, let's try that then.
Yeah, turn into a fucking clicker. Yeah.
Oh, let's try that then. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, my clicker powers are kicking in right now. Whatever. I'm going to start eating motherfuckers and shit. Clickers. Yeah, I hate them fucking games. Games fucking suck. Didn't I review that second one? It was unpublished.
I think you did.
Because it went on into like an hour and 20-something minutes of me just ranting about this game.
Yeah. I remember you were very outspoken about that game when it first came out. And it was for different reasons from what everybody else was mad about the game about, which is funny.
Yeah, because everybody else was mad about old Joel being killed.
Joel that's
at least my fucking issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I never got around to oh, by the way, people, I'm a Godfather Craft Beer, Cody.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. That's fucking
good. I played it for like 20 minutes, and I remember this is like me playing a guitar. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I just didn't play anymore. That's not like a fair review of the game. It just never grabbed me. Like I said, I was never a huge fan of the first Last of Us anyway. It was a good game. Don't get me wrong.
It was a
good game.
Masterpiece, Cody.
But it ain't a fucking masterpiece. Show is great too, but it's not the greatest thing. No, to man, a story is not that
fucking. I think the show is better than the game, honestly.
There are aspects of the show that's better than the game. I would agree with
that. Yeah. You know why? Because there's only 7 fucking episodes. That's why.
It is. Yeah. I guess it is a more condensed experience.
Yeah.
All said and done, you think about it. Yeah. Well, at least it feels more condensed because, yeah, you're playing the game and watch a cutscene. So it's kind of, yeah.
You know why? Because half that goddamn show wasn't looking at fucking loading up supplies.
Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. You're loading up motherfucking supplies, whatever. And it just. It's some repetitive ass shit too, to be honest. I mean, I guess you can say that, but I mean, I didn't really use that as my main excuse because you can say that about
right
realistically or whatever. They're all kind of repetitive as shit, but it's like get the supplies, go in a dark tunnel, fucking sneak around. It was like, all right.
And you got to remember at the time that game came out too, that was kind of still at the height of the whole zombie craze too. That was kind of still at its height, 2012, I think, or 2013. Walking Dead was still like huge at that time as well.
And
so that kind of probably has something to do with it too.
Plus, let's not mention, that was the same year that, what was the name of that game that came out? And I remember both of us not really caring about the franchise, but we liked it. Oh man, but we liked that game that came out. That was the same year Grand Theft Auto 5 came out.
Was that you talking about God of War? That
not God of War.
No, that was the one that sucked. Never mind.
Yeah, that was the one that sucked. Yeah, that was the one that sucked. Oh, what was the name of that game?
I'm curious now.
Not Far Cry. What is the name of that series now? Damn it. And now I gotta look it up now. Hold on.
Sorry, I'm really curious.
I remember we really like, because that had like a lot of social commentary in it and shit like that too. And
interesting.
What game was that? Releases was
2013 was in a last was came out.
Was that when the new consoles came out?
Was that 2013? Was
BioShock.
BioShock Infinite. There you go. Right. Yes. BioShock Infinite. Yeah.
I remember that came out in February of that year too. So that was like early in the year. So like it kicked off the year, and then it finished the year with Grand Theft Auto 5, because Last of Us.
That's right.
You're gonna laugh at this. Last of Us, I think, came out on my birthday. Actually, you know, I remember.
I think it did. Yeah, I think it was June.
June?
It was June.
It was June.
I think 14. It was like actually. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was like okay. So it was a week after then. But either way, that week just always just always bullshit to me.
It's always that time, man. At least it's not as bad as it used to be. I mean, it's still bad, but you know.
I think it's been worse. Second game so fucking much, though. That second game was just such dog shit. Like, I was like, okay. And then just the ending. I just remember sitting there just like, thank you for wasting my motherfucking time now.
Yeah, you actually went through the whole thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you remember, because I'd like to say I was the first one. Well, I shouldn't say that, because there's probably reviews that got the game before I did or whatever. And I played all the way through it, like, real quick, too. And, I just remember that ending where it's just like, you mean to tell me I stabbed all these fucking people only to tell me, nah, I've learned the error of my ways now.
I can't kill Joe's killer. All these other motherfuckers, fuck them. But Joe's killer, nah, I'm above that. I'm brutally murdered all these people that have families and wives, children and shit. Fuck all them.
Didn't have shit to do with Joel or anything like while I'm on this rampage, neither Cody. They didn't have a shit to do while I was on this rampage.
Really, mother. I saw some footage. I was like, God damn, Alec. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like they were worse than Assassin's Creed sneak ups or whatever shit.
I'll give the game this much. The combat looks intense. And I love the way the exit wounds, like the bullet holes and shit, because it looks realistic. That's why it's supposed to get fucked up. That's why it's supposed to look.
That was the one compliment I gave in that review. Yeah. I said the graphics look good.
Shit is, yeah.
I think I was talking shit about that too, because I said the graphics look good, but I was like, who gives a fuck though? I was like, graphics are good in almost every fucking game nowadays. Like, I was like, I mean,
that's kind of like, it kind of goes without saying at this point. Well, it should go without saying.
Especially because, if I'm not mistaken, that was on the new consoles when they came out, right?
That was on, that came out at the tail end of PS4. Yeah, that came out 2019.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Taylor. I'm sorry, I was thinking of the first one still, whatever and shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last of part two.
Yeah, well, part one and them and but yeah, you're right. Like, I'm a tail end. At that point, it was just like, bitch, we gotta get a PS5 and shit like that. Like, hey.
Man, it looked great for it, especially for the time. It looked great. But I kinda like, since it was so close, I was like, yeah, I don't know. But all over knowing, I mean, it won't really change the game at all much anyway.
Graphics don't mean shit to me no more, whatever, and shit in these games, whatever. I was like, if your graphics look bad, that means there's a few things that happened. Either it was a strike, you didn't have the budget for it, or you just
didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, so after that, it's just like, oh, who gives a shit now at this point? Graphics is like on the bottom totem pole of like my ratings when it comes to reviews and shit. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I do don't underestimate a pretty looking game and shit like that, but at this era in the stage or whatever, it's just like, yeah, I don't give a fuck what these games look like. I care about this content that I'm putting hours into and shit, and only to get to the end of it. You know, that's why I appreciate Cyberpunk, because as much as that game fucked up, whatever and shit, I was just like, well, it's telling me a story right now. It's telling me to take this motherfucker out of my Xbox. So, I said, you ain't about to bust my shit. Yeah, I just bought this fucking thing and it was $500.
Oh, man. I remember the good old Cyberpunk launch. That was something, all right.
Yeah,
you that was fucking something.
You ain't about to break my new console, bitch. I just got this, bitch.
Oh, man.
I love the people with the newer console. Like, I'll just play it out. It'll get better. I just like, hell no, nah, I ain't taking no chances. That was $500. Ain't no game worth breaking this shit.
Hey, shit.
Put that shit back in this package. Sent that shit back to Amazon. God bless you, Amazon. Step yoga. Yeah, Amazon. You don't give a fuck. I could have chewed on that goddamn disc. They'd have took that back and gave me my money back. These motherfuckers give you your money back before they even get the damn thing.
I think it was so bad. I think they were giving like digital refunds too for that shit.
Yes, they were.
If I remember, the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, the PlayStation Store wasn't working.
And then they're literally giving everybody their fucking money back.
Once my car that I was driving started sinking into the ground, I said, oh yeah, taking this bitch out.
Yeah. Yeah, and luckily I never really ran into many of those bugs. It was never the bugs like I saw on like on YouTube vids and shit and compilations. Oh, yeah, I was like, God damn, people have fucked up shit going on. That on the PS5, which was less buggy version of it. And obviously it's better nowadays too.
I think people were playing that on the old consoles on YouTube.
Yeah, they're playing on PS4 and that shit just overheated. That shit could not, that was not.
Because like you said, I didn't have as many issues, but I had enough issues. I was just like, yeah, we ain't getting no further in this.
The PS4 users, they had it bad. I remember that shit.
They were driving invincible cars and shit.
Yeah, they were driving invincible. Textures weren't loading in. People were acting funny and shit. And
you'd fall off a clipping. You just instantly keep falling and shit like that. It's just like, yeah, you need to unplug that motherfucking ASAP now. Ain't no game worth busting your console up for that shit.
Oh, man, that shit was a travesty.
Yeah, that's why that company got sued. Rightfully so for releasing that shit. They had no business releasing that shit on no old consoles.
They did not. Hey, they stuck it through. Bro. They weathered the storm. They're doing all right.
They made every other release after that though. I don't know if you noticed, but they don't do that dual release no more. They wait now to release on the older consoles.
Yeah, they got a new expansion came out for Cyberpunk 2, which actually is kind of badass. So.
They can keep that shit.
I think they set themselves the right way this time. I think crisis would be averted.
To quote 50 Cent or whatever, he can keep them motherfuckers. He can keep them motherfuckers. When that motherfucker found out them shoes were $6,000, he looked at them and said, he can keep them motherfuckers. That's the same thing I have about Cyberpunk.
That's a rich man saying that too. 50 Cent, he ain't like one of these other celebrities that bunch of dumb shit. So I like 50 Cent.
I hate his music, but I love that.
Yeah, I like him as a personality.
I like him as a person. Yeah. He is a very funny man or whatever. I got to tell you. Have you ever seen that video? Old, but have you ever seen that video of him sneaker shopping?
I don't think I have. No,
that shit's fucking a gold gem, dude. Like, he just cussing the whole time. He's just like, $5,000, you can buy a fucking car. A Chrysler, shit.
Keep them
motherfuckers.
It's $5,000 for shoes. You go buy a small car. You go buy a fucking Chrysler for
$5,000. Ain't no shoe ever. Fuck, it's delivery too. It's so hilarious. That's the dude's naturally comedic.
You know, he means it too when he just say, "You go fucking buy a Chrysler with that."
I wonder why he never tried his hand at comedy, because the dude's actually naturally funny.
he should go the Shaq route and just like start producing a bunch of comedy shows. And stuff.
Yeah.
You know, these are going for $6,000.
Keep them
motherfuckers. That's me looking at Cyberpunk.
$5,000.
Ain't no shoe.
Yo, he throws his fucking shoe, by the way. He threw his fucking shoe. He said, the motherfucker told me this shoe cost $700. He threw it down on the ground and shit. Man, yeah, you gotta watch the whole video. I watched that whole fucking video.
Oh, man, he also gave birth to like one of my favorite gifs too. I love this fucking gif right here. I'm about to send it to you right now. That's one of my favorites.
The funny part about at the end of this video is he got like a bag full of cash too, and he just like, I gotta get the hell up out this store. He's like, I gotta get my money and I gotta get the hell up out of here. Y'all ridiculous.
This gif, this is imagine how he pulls away from the store right here. That gif right there.
Oh yeah, that's. That's funny because that's that look on his face when he said, "Keep them motherfuckers." I must have watched that part over and over so many times. I felt the reflection in his voice when he said, "You can keep them motherfuckers." Because, and the only reason why I found that video is because I was at a whiskey or a bottle shop, I should say. Mm-hmm. And this motherfucker told me for the Weller single barrel that he was charging $2,000 for it. And straight up, no bullshit, neither people. I said, he can keep that bitch or whatever. So it just reminded me of the great 50 Cent here saying, you can keep them motherfuckers or whatever. Like, so I just needed to switch the word bitch with motherfucker and I would have been perfect on that or whatever. But yeah, he right on that shit. You can keep them motherfuckers. Ain't no shoes ever worth more than no car. So people, it is September. It's a lovely month of September. After Cody had an unsuccessful rum month there.
Yeah, that was short and unsuccessful. Good Cody, thing was short.
After mezcal month last year, Cody said, I'm just going to keep these shorts if I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't know nothing. Yeah. I'm going to show up. That's what I want to do. Maybe you got this week, man. I ain't drinking this bullshit.
Oh, that's even funnier than you can keep them motherfuckers. That's fucking hilarious, actually.
Yeah, man. After the El Dorado 15, I was like, yeah, I probably should just figure that. Yeah, this month, if I continue on this rap, this month ain't gonna go well. Yeah, I didn't even touch that bottle. I don't even know why I bought that Mount Gay bullshit. That shit was terrible. That shit sucks ass.
Well, you had a successful tequila month. How about that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And hopefully this month might be all right. We'll see.
Yeah. This month should be fine. I've never had this month is Bourbon Heritage Month, right?
So, so I think it should be fine.
So that means you could have any spirit that was aged in bourbon or bourbon
anything
itself.
Anything involving bourbon.
Yeah, as long as it's got fucking bourbon on the title or whatever, you know? I mean, then if it was, it could be a fucking tequila that was aged in bourbon barrels. I don't really give a shit. As long as we're here to pay respect to bourbon. So I've never had anything that was god awful that was aged in bourbon.
Man, I might have to bring back the barrel aged coffee beans. It's been a while, man. I might have to review that.
I thought you was gonna say that. The fuck is that beer company in Anaheim now?
Brewery X.
No, not Brewery X. The other one that we went
to. Oh, Bottle Logic.
Bottle Logic, yeah, Bottle Logic.
Hell no,
So now them, I know they got some shit that was Asian bourbon barrels in there. That shit.
It all just tastes fucking same. That is shit.
The quote 50, you can keep them motherfuckers.
That's the theme this week.
You can keep them motherfuckers. That actually might be a new one. Cody, that might replace 2121.
I'm about to say, I kind of like that rating. I like that more than 2121.
Yeah, I think that might
be the new.
You can keep that motherfucker.
I like that.
Because I ain't buying that bitch. So.
I'm not buying this shit. I'm not recommending this shit to nobody. Therefore,
keep this motherfucker.
By law. By code 0825.
Yeah, by code 50. I think I'm gonna go by that rule, whatever. Hey. That man lived up to his name in that shoe store. He's just like, fuck this shit.
more than $50.
Yeah, you got your fucking money. When that motherfucker picked that shoe up and threw that shit to the ground, that's how you knew he was pissed. He's just like, $700 because of he said, this shoe costs $150 more than the other shoe because it's a different year. He threw the fucking shoe down, whatever, and he's just like, it's some bullshit. Like, that's how I feel about Bottle Logic. It's like they over fucking priced. Isn't it like $30 for a fucking bottle, too?
Shit, basically, that's what it averaged out to. Always some bullshit, man. I'm like, hey, I don't keep up with them anymore. I don't even know if they're still like big on like the trading market and all the hype and shit. I have no idea. So I don't know what's going on with Ball Logic. I'd rather not fucking know. Like I said, you keep the motherfuckers. I really don't care.
I think the beer market is just so overflooded. It's like, why the fuck would I spend $30 on this shit when I can go get something else?
Well, that's the thing, too. And I know their whole shtick is the whole dessert beer, basically. All the, like, this big...
Keep that motherfucker.
Big biscuit stouts. but all the fucking additions to it and shit. That's like their whole gimmick. And that was kind of a thing, kind of like 4 years ago. It kind of petered down a bit. People still do like specialized styles like that. But I usually don't cater to those like that. Like, you got to be really kind of nuanced when you do stuff like that. I don't think Bottle Logic has any of that nuance at all.
I don't think my mind, I've only had two or three, I think, Bottle Logics in my life. I don't think either one of them ever blew my mind. It was just like, fuck, I got to buy this shit. I don't care what the price
is. I was liking them when I first had them. I was like, Fundamental Observation and all that. Like, when I first had it, I was like, oh, this is good. And then I kept trying their other stuff. I was like, man, everything tastes like fucking Fundamental Observation. What's going on here?
Wait a minute. Fundamental Observation only costs $20. Yeah. Why this new one that says different? Yeah. It costs $32 and it tastes like,
same. Man, am I having fucking deja vu? Because this label here does not say Fundamental Observation. This says a completely different name. So why the fuck does it taste exactly like Fundamental fucking Observation?
That's the only thing I think I've had has been Asian something bourbon where I was just like, look, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's just boring.
Yeah, it's boring and over fucking
wasting my fucking time. And then because they hype this shit up and then their whole marketing is like, yeah, we that brewery, not the fucking nine. Shut up.
They shop in Anaheim ain't even that impressive. I was just like, that's it.
It's not. I mean, this gets the job done. I know we certainly saw the two. Supposed to have that fucking Game of Thrones share that night.
You're charging your fucking beer this goddamn much. You should be able to get a fucking bigger spot than it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you
which is IRL. I guess it's just the founders, because Brewery X, when we went that year, that was the first year it was open.
Yeah. And I only spent
Bottle Lodge was already open for like, Brewery X is way better experience than fucking Bottle Lodge.
I only spent
way
$40 better. Fucking dollars. Not close. If we would have stayed at Bottle Logic, I'd have spent that on fucking two drinks probably.
I was saying, it would be $2.
And we had almost everything on the goddamn menu.
We did. I think we had food too. We had snacks.
Yeah, we did.
As well. Yeah.
And we had cash that day because we was going to a nice fine establishment.
Yeah,
we had a nice
establishment.
Yeah. Yes. Going to a fine establishment afterwards or whatever and shit to record the following week's episode that week of the month of love in February.
That's right.
Yeah, showing all the single people out there what you do for the month of love when you single. You don't buy flowers. You buy shirts. I mean,
you pay tuition.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So people, you pay people medical bills. And shit, you know,
giving back to the community.
Giving back to the community. Your fine community too. You know,
yep.
Them tax dollars are hard.
Fine, all right.
I'm like a street sign. You know, it was fine that night. That's for damn sure.
What a tale! What a tale!
I will not go to this ATM machine, Cody. I swear to you.
Drain.
Huh?
Motherfucker just floats over there. He don't walk.
I was cool the first 15 minutes, though. I was cool. I was sitting next to you. I was cool. I was sitting there on foot like, I ain't blown away by none of this, whatever. Yeah, this ain't. Oh my God. I'm a changed man though now. The pandemic changed me.
Yep. And it did.
I can't go back there. So anyway, people, so I thought for a whiskey week and bourbon heritage much, I'd just go ahead and put out flat out bourbon. I'm still undecided what I want to do for mix and match. I was thinking of wine, then I started looking at tequila, and I was just like, I don't really know yet. So
I figure it out.
I'm going to fly that off on the wing of the hands. But this week, Bourbon Heritage Munch, I think, is very simple. And I've been wanting to do this for a while now since I've had this bottle. I've got it maybe a few months ago. I had a colleague gave me this, Hillary. Probably the best thing anybody's ever fucking buy me, because usually when people buy me whiskey or something like that, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like,
It never goes well.
That girl been to my apartment, I don't know how many times, and she done brought me fucking Jack Daniels. And I just looked at her and was just like... She's been over there more than Cody was at that time too. And I'm just like looking at her like, cause she would do her job would require her to come to downtown Long Beach or whatever. So sometimes she would just like kick it at my apartment and just like kill time or like sleep there or whatever and shit like that and stuff until she had to go set up her next event and stuff like that. And so she was over there pretty regularly. And this was before COVID. So I was already semi working from home sometimes anyway, whatever. So I was there sometimes. We would kick it, get food and stuff like that. And I'm like, how many times you done been to my fucking place or whatever? You done seen this bar more than I have probably at this point. And you know I don't fucking like flair. And you go get Jack Daniel's honey. And then you left the logo on it, so you went to Ralph's and got it. Not only that, and it's like, damn, I've seen Ralph's. You couldn't get a fucking Woodford Reserve or even at that time, a 1792 or a fucking Jameson bottle. I'd have took that shit over there. It was like, you went for like the bottom of the, like, you got to walk to the end of that below aisle. The barrel. Yeah, so you wasn't no friend, so I had to get rid of her. So, you know, you ain't no friend. Yeah. I know people probably like, oh, how do you get rid of friends that way? Get bullshit ass gifts, get rid of their ass.
That's fair. I see no problems here.
I learned the power of the block button. You get blocked. Yeah,
bleeding block.
Yeah, and we drank that bottle too, and it was disgusting. It's very fucking disgusting. I think I threw up actually drinking that bottle. So.
It was awful.
Cody had some with me, so
he fucking terrible.
He don't even know her, and he blocked her somehow. He said, I'm going to find you in my phone somewhere. I'm going to make a number and just block you.
Make a contact.
So my good friend here, Hillary, she actually bought me something worthwhile because she knows the owner of this thing. And I seen it too. And I was just like, I love that bottle design because it's so simplistic. And that's funny because that's the mantra of what they're going by. They're looking for simplicity out of the bottle design and even out of the pour, which is hilarious because you never would hear any spirit company say, we're looking for simplicity. We're not trying to be like all out there, but we're looking for like something that's just really good, simple, easy to sip on and inviting. And it's just like, I respect that. You know, we're not trying to be, you know, experimental or something different or whatever. So I'm like, I love that or whatever. And when it comes to bottle designs, I will say, especially this year, simplicity kind of wins it over for me in a way. I just, something about it, it just looks more vintage. Looks, if you will.
Especially when you pull it off right, looks elegant. It looks really clean to the point. I actually like more streamlined designs.
Same.
When it comes to aesthetically with anything, really, honestly.
And that bottle is Frank August. Cody, check that out.
Frank? That is a beautiful fucking, that's what I'm talking about. That's a gorgeous bottle.
That's a gorgeous, I love the size gorgeous of it.
Bottle color looks great. Our radio and bourbon.
It's heavy too. Like I took it off. I was like, oh shit, I forgot how heavy this thing was or whatever. It's nice and heavy. I love the little white tag around it.
Mm-hmm.
Frank August, Kentucky straight small batch bourbon right here.
Love it.
100 proof. You know, it's funny. It don't even look like a 750 milliliter. It got a little bit of text on the front, you know, just giving your warning label and all that stuff, whatever.
Man, just seeing that is making me thirsty, man. That looks good. That's the color is beautiful, man.
I love this bottle or whatever and stuff. Yeah. I opened it right away when she gave it to me, too. I think his name is Jonathan, if I'm not mistaken. He lives in New York, which was cool as shit because Frank August, they're doing like this big giveaway on their Instagram page. I wasn't even following them at the time, whatever. And this was like last week, I think, which is also why I wanted to do the review. They randomly just pick like whiskey people on Instagram, whatever. And like, they're doing a contest to give away. I got randomly picked and they're pouring in a glass and your name is on the glass or whatever. And wherever the pour ends up, that's who they decide who wins. I got picked.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I got picked as one and I was kind of blown. I was just like, I thought at first I won because my name was just there. And then I read the instructions. I was like, ah, okay. I think they needed two more pours before if I could have won that or whatever. I thought it was really cool as shit as well. And then the bottle just looks, I love the simplicity of it. I think it looks really dope. I was sipping on it a little bit right before Cody got on. And yeah, man, the nose is very inviting, just as he wanted. It's got a lot of caramel flavors into it. It's got that, the color, like Cody said, it's like that rich fall auburn color, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's got that. I love how it coats the glass, though, too. But yeah, I'm with Cody on that. I really do like that color or whatever. It looks like
it's beautiful.
This might sound bad.
No, I was gonna say it almost looks like liquid gold. Sometimes we like it's certain like lighting. It literally looks like liquid gold.
I was gonna say, not only Cody's right. It looks like liquid gold. It looks like just general whiskey. I was back in the day, whatever. It was just like just before it got all popularized and everything. It just looks like your standard regular whiskey and stuff, you know? I seen it at Total Wine and other stores. I think it goes for $69, which is okay. Nowadays is about the average of whiskey these days for the. And I always tell people when they ask me, "Oh, what should I get at Total Wine?" I either tell them two things: Frank August or Smoke Wagon, because they're both are easier, the easiest to find in there or whatever and shit. And they always have a supply of it. So if you got
to
go
bourbon and. Yeah, to go off on a quick tangent real quick. I am so happy they're opening up a Total Wine in Culver City. I didn't even fucking know that.
Yes.
They drove past. I was like, what the fuck? There's a Total Wine in Culver City? All right, beautiful.
Is it open already or?
If it's not open yet, it's opening like very, very soon.
I saw it on Instagram. And by the way, that's like the first one in LA people too, by the way. I just want to put that out there because there is none in LA. I think the closest in LA
is Redondo, I think.
Pasadena. Well, I was going to say L.A. because Redondo's more South Bay and shit like that, but like L.A. in general. Like,
oh, gotcha. Like
Pasadena, and that one barely just opened up in 2019. So I guess Total Wine must be more of an Orange County thing or whatever.
Definitely.
It's all over fucking Orange County. You can find them in Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, like that. So, yeah, they're all over there. But like in L.A., like Cody said, Redondo, if you want to go to South Bay. And then if you're just in general in LA, if you live especially on the West side, I mean, you just kind of fucked realistically. Pasadena and Northridge are the only two. I think I know. Yeah. Is there one in Glendale?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well then Northridge and Pasadena.
Maybe there is. I don't know, but
Pasadena and Northridge are the only two I fucking know of. And they both, that sound far as shit. So,
yeah, that's a little hike. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little hike.
It's a little trek. Yeah.
I don't do hikes, baby. I need delivery. Oh yeah. It's got a lot of vanilla in there. Very nice and warm. Small little baking spices in there. Nothing too extreme or anything like that. It's got that nice winter feel to it or whatever. Like, I'm about to drink this on a nice winter day, you know. Pour this right before Christmas dinner. Watching the game, whatever's on. Yeah, this is like a good starter here. I love that scent of it, though, too. Total Wine, like I said, $70. I'd pay that for this. A lot of sweet caramel is on that. Caramel just like jumps up at you. Vanilla's on the palate as well. I love the oiliness of it and how it transitions to the back end. Gradually moves too. I love that right there. What I love is just like, it's just mouthful. I get it all over the tongue. It's all over the palate. It doesn't stop. It transitions well. Hits right into the finish. The finish, it's got a lot of flavor in it, a lot of oak, vanilla. You get more of those baking spices that you get on the nose a little bit. It's a nice medium to long finish on there as well, too. Not too long. It's nice and subtle as well, too. It's not as hot. Although it comes off a little bit warm on the tip of the tongue or whatever, very settles down towards the end of it. But it's nice and fulfilling as well. I love that about it. You know, sipping this, everything I might say might sound bad or whatever, but I don't mean this any bad way. It comes off as nothing special, but it comes off as what you want in a bourbon. It's got everything, little aspect you want in there. It's nothing that I'm like mind blown about it. Like, oh my God, Cody, you got to try this and grab this, whatever. It's nothing to that extent, whatever, but it just has everything that it should have. Nothing, no characteristic really sticks out as far as like making you say, oh, this is what makes it better than this or that or whatever stuff. This just comes across as a great fucking everyday pour. I don't see anything bad about it per se.
You were saying exactly what I thought you were going to say. Like B2B, I was expecting this to be kind of like not a bad bourbon by any means, but just like one that just hits all the points just right. Like nothing too crazy, but for like a good like everyday bourbon, like you were saying, like this just gets the job done. Like if you're going to reach in the cabinet for something,
yeah,
like something to like watch a TV or something, you're going to pour something real quick. This will be that pour.
If you're making a last minute trip to a barbecue or something like that, and you just got to stop at a store. I imagine grabbing a Frank August. What I love about it too is what you see is what you get realistically.
Yeah.
You're not getting this bad bourbon at all. You're not getting anything like experimental. Like I said, it's pretty much got all the notes you want in there as far as what makes a bourbon at 100 proof. It has this nice little kick into it too on the back end of the tongue. Hits right at the esophagus. Love that part or whatever, because that's where more of the spices, a little bit more of the heat kicks in as well too. Not as strong as I thought when the spices on the tip of the tongue, whatever, but no, I enjoy the shit out of this. Like, I have a second bottle here. I bought it on my own too, because you know, might as well just get two bottles over here. This one was gifted to me, and I have a second bottle as well. And I think that's really all you need. This is a great everyday have to have in this place. And you know, that's the one thing you always want to look for, because you get so many rare stuff. You don't want to have to like keep going back to it unless it's just like that damn good. Like, I don't drink Booker's 30 every fucking day, really.
You know? Yeah, of course.
like I ain't going to the cabinet going like, oh, Booker's 30 today, whatever. Let's go ahead and pour that. No, I look for my Frank Augustus, because like when you get to me, I'll be sitting here playing PS5 or something like that, and I'd be like, I want something to drink, but like, I don't know what the fuck I want, because I got so many goddamn bottles here and shit. But it's like, I also too don't want to open something that might be, I think, is special or whatever and stuff, and I'm saving it for an occasion. I wouldn't even say saving it, but like, you know, for a review purpose here. And I think Frank August is where it goes. I did pour this the other day when I was playing games. I was waiting on a Zoom call I had, and I was like playing a little bit of video games. And I was like, ah, fuck, I don't really know what I want. Frank August is that pour or whatever. It's no store pick. It's no special anything, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a regular small batch bourbon right here. And I think it gets the job done perfectly too. So, God, I feel like I should drop a last drop on this, honestly. But I think I'm just going to go 3.5.
I was going to say, yes. I would say 3.5 sounds. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. I'll go 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's nothing really special or anything like that. Like, I'm telling you, you got to go out of your way and get this bar or whatever and stuff like that. I think if you do come across it, though, and you're not sure what to get, and you're at a, like a Total Wine, BevMo, whatever, and you see that $70 mm-hmm. price tag, yeah, I recommend picking this up. This is a good everyday have in the storage area. So much, I actually might even pour this in the decanter, too, because I don't really use decanter for nothing, and I've already emptied this one out or whatever. Okay. That one's, yeah, it's gone pretty much, so... Mm-hmm. I think it was a Buffalo Trace store pick that was in there. That's gone. So yeah, this comes off. I also think this makes a nice gift too, as well. I don't think it actually comes off as everyday bourbon, but I also think it make a nice gift as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the name Frank August comes from. I got to be honest on that part. but also too, you can gift this to someone. I actually, you know what? I think I might be gifting some of these for Christmas this year. So
okay, yeah, very nice.
So, I'm giving it a 3.5 then right there.
Yeah, I love it, man. I kind of want to buy a bottle myself now.
It's beautiful presentation.
Yeah.
It's nice and good. And it's a small batch, too. Small batches, man, they can be tricky as fuck sometimes. You can get so many bad small batches nowadays. This one just comes off as proper, man. It's just proper, gentlemanly, like. If I was at a bar, didn't know what to get, or if it's a big menu and I'm still looking at it, I could start off with a Frank August. This is just perfect for so many realms and everything else, too. I bet it makes really good old fashions, too, as well.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Mm-hmm. So, you talk about my hip-hop list here.
The hippity-hop. Hop of the hippity.
Yeah, hippity-hop or whatever, which I'll quickly go through in, like, the next 2 minutes, because I think we got, like, 3 minutes left. Yeah. My number, we only have four left, I guess, after Cody gives his next week, whatever, but we only have three left after this. I can't believe we're coming up so soon, but, my number seven, if you will, and these are not in order. We're just saying number seven, cause that's what the track rate is, whatever, is a group. I think I got a lot of Queens artists on my list now that I think about it, but this group, man, they're legendary. They were one of the first to ever be on MTV. They were the first to ever win a Grammy. They were the first to meld hip hop and rock or whatever. They were the first that had that style of that hip hop that everybody domed after. I'm talking about like your LL Cool J's, your Salt and Peppers, and all them and stuff like that. I'm talking about Run DMC, man.
Run DMC, legends.
That right there was my group back then. The black leather jackets, the hats,
iconic.
The t-shirts, the black t-shirts with the black leather pants or whatever and stuff, and the Adidas.
Of course.
Man, that style is just like, it's just mind-blowingly good. But the music too, that first album, man, that album was just fucking fantastic. It was called Run DMC too as well, people. Run DMC, and this is the second, or well, first on my list, but second group or a person that might have passed away on these lists or whatever, because Cody had Biggie on his last week, or not last week, but the week before that, if I'm mistaken. And I got now Jam Master Jay on here. Jam Master Jay was like one of the best fucking DJs out there. I mean, the way he cut was like nobody's business. My favorite track off that first album, though, was It's Like That. And at the 50th anniversary of hip hop that Nas presented at the Yankee Stadium thing, they killed that song on it. I loved how they just set that whole up. It was fucking fantastic. They had a great fucking career. I would say they pretty much owned the 80s for what it was. It kind of fell off like in the 90s, if you will. And mm-hmm. then they kind of split up as well, too, because not Jam Master Jay, but DMC himself, you know, he's going through alcohol addiction, drug addiction and stuff like that. Pretty much fighting his own demons, if you will, and stuff. And then also, too, Run's brother, who was Russell Simmons, as we know, he was kind of their manager and stuff like that. He was trying to kind of take the group more into a business mindset, if you will, which especially with starting his own label, Def Jam, and all that stuff. So they were kind of coming to ideas that they really all just didn't come to a conclusion to do. They came back, I believe, in 2000 or 2001. I could be wrong or whatever. I think it was 2001. They came back because, you know, DMC got himself cleaned up. And they did all that, wanted to make music. They started making tracks with Nas. They made a track with Method Man, Onyx. I mean, that album, I think it was called Crown Royal. They had a fucking feature of like all mega hits. And then, you know, also too, their tracks, just kind of fell off as well later again. And they got into the 90s and what they did, man, back in the day, how they really were like, you know, a lot of artists today call themselves rock stars. They really were the original hip hop rock stars, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows their famous song. They hooked up with Aerosmith, did that video with them and stuff like that. That was like for hip hop at that time. That was really big because
that was monumental.
Yeah, because nobody took hip hop serious at that time. They thought it was just some bullshit as, you know, black music, to put it mm-hmm. nonetheless, whatever. And rock was like at the peak of like his hotness, yep, right there. Mm-hmm. So for like someone as popular as Aerosmith at that time, Aerosmith was just like, I don't think people remember how big they were. They were like the biggest of big at that time. And so for this group to just like combine, do a video and a song mm-hmm. together, that was like monumental big. That was like breaking new grounds for hip hop. It was getting a foot in the door. These dudes are like some of the godfathers of hip hop, if you will, whatever, for breaking those boundaries, getting the doors in. As I was saying, some of their music kind of fell off because they were competing with, I mean, the 90s, that early 90s, dude, that was just like, we said it before, it was an East and West thing. If you wasn't part of this group over here or this group here, just get the fuck out of the way, realistically. I mean, like, it was just, like, so heavily. You got Diddy was coming up at the time, Puff Daddy, whatever, and Biggie. Not only that, though, you had, like, Method Man, Wu-Tang. You had Nas. You had LL Cool J, AZ, MC Shan. All these people coming up. KRS-One, Rakim still going. And then on the West, you had like Ice Cube, N.W.A., Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre coming out. I mean, it was like really, and then the whole East meets West thing. And the only way that was like getting out of that was like if you were teaming up with the heavy hitters, like I mean, Nas and Dre teamed up, whatever, because they didn't want to be a part of that shit or whatever, stuff like that. But if you wasn't at that time, then it was like, get the fuck out of the way. And Run DMC, they just couldn't compete, man, because they still had that 80s style, the 80s style mindset, whatever. And like that was kind of slowly fading away, especially even the style of it too, how they were still dressing and stuff, which to me, I ain't gonna lie, it still looks dope as shit to me. I mean,
I think it's actually really cool style.
I think their last 90s album was Down With The King. And yeah, that was probably one of their weaker albums on there and stuff. And you look at it, and which I'm looking at it right now, I'm just going like, yeah. But they did have like the first three tracks on there. I love those tracks because they had Pete Rock on the first track. If you don't know who Pete Rock is, that's a fucking MC legend right there, and producer as well too. Q-Tip was on the second one, and if I'm not mistaken, EPMD was on the third track or whatever. And EPMD was pretty fucking hot in the 90s as well too. But then after that, it just kind of just like, we wouldn't get in the Ish Trickies, which fucking still plays today in clubs and stuff like that. Tougher Than Leather. Tougher Than Leather. Man, you had a lot of tracks on there too. You had Run's House, Mary Mary. They call us Run DMC, Radio Station, Miss Elaine, Christmas and Hollis. Yeah, that had a shit ton of tracks on there. His second album, Raising Hell, too. That was where Peter Piper. Their first three tracks are always like they most hottest tracks too. I'm starting to notice here.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, that second album, I forgot how many hits that had on there. I thought the first album had more hits, but yeah, Peter Piper, It's Tricky. And this is in order too, people. It's Tricky. Number three was My Adidas. Number four was Walk This Way. Number five was Is It Live. Six was Perfection. And six, seven was Hit It Run. And then after that, you got like tracks like You Be Illin', Dumb Girl, Proud to Be Black. And that was the album right there. So that album, damn, that was 1986 too, people, when that second album came out. That was like, that was some hot shit right there. And Adidas, they were the first rap group also to break a sneaker deal and break into that style, whatever and stuff. Who didn't have a pair of the classic Adidas? They were handing them out at the fucking 50th anniversary thing. Obviously, everybody had those. Come on, the white, all white with the black stripes on them. Come on, that was like classic back in the day. Shit, who don't have a pair of them today? I will raise my hand. I do not have a pair of them today. I don't even know where the fuck you find them at, baby. Whatever. So, guess Shoe Warehouse, baby. But I'm sorry, that wasn't their second album. Raising Hell was their third album.
Okay.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, the second album was King of Rock. I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Which, yeah. Okay, that album, I remember that first three was on there. The first three tracks was Rock the House, King of Rock, and You Talk Too Much, which was three of their hot tracks right there as well, too. It was just the style that they had, man. They had that attitude, man. You know what I liked about them too is kind of what Cody was talking about with EPMD, man. They just knew how to flow off each other so well. Like mm-hmm. The chemistry was just so tight with each other. Like, you don't get that a lot in hip hop today, and maybe you do. I just don't listen to it. I think it's bullshit today. it just sounds like two dudes rapping whenever you hear shit today. Back then, even with EPMD, because they both got different voices and shit. Well, everybody got different voices and stuff. You wouldn't even be able to tell who's who. Because their flow was so just symmetrical. It was so lined perfectly or whatever. You'd just be like, man, the way, the same thing with these two or with DMC and Run or whatever. They would flow so well together. It'd be like, I don't even know who's spitting that lyric right there, but it just sounds like it's legit. So Rum DMC, man, legends in the game. Jam Master Jay, he was just fucking great, man. I remember when he fucking passed away or not passed away. He was murdered.
Murdered.
In his studio in Queens.
Yeah,
2002, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, that sounds about right.
Yeah, which was crazy. I remember when it happened, even in the West Coast. We was just
like, I remember that. I remember when it happened.
Fuck, man. Because at that time, early 2000s, or at least at 2002 time, whatever, I wasn't on my hip hop is dying trend. So I don't think that kicked in for me.
Yeah, that was like a couple years later.
Yeah.
Like that was like 2006.
Yeah, 2006.
2006. That's what I truly noticed. So I was like, holy shit.
Shit, dying. So
fucking garbage. The fuck is this?
Funny enough, 2006 was when Nas came out with Hip Hop is Dead. And I was just like, Yeah. Oh boy. The irony.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That truly is Nostradamus.
He's Negro Domus, Cody. he's Negro Domus, yes. Oh, but yeah, dude. Yeah, when that came out, dude, I was just like, yeah, I think this is over. Yep. I don't think there's a reason for me to listen to this genre no more now. I think I'm just gonna move along, Cody, and yeah. I think 2005 is when I started noticing, because that's when like fucking like people was talking about like Dipset and shit like that, and I was just like, you remember that year, Cody? Don't I? Like,
man, there is one song that Dipset made back in the day. That shit made me laugh so fucking hard. Yeah. I forgot what the song is called, dude, but it's fucking hilarious. Some of the lyrics in there are fucking hilarious.
You remember, I don't really watch this thing. It's called Versus. Remember when Dipset thought Dipset thought they was actually good enough to go against Jadakiss and the Lox and all of them?
That's like, fucking hilarious.
Just like
that's a fucking joke. Like, the fuck out of here.
Like, Jadakiss isn't on my list, but he gets an honorable mention. You don't want to battle rap that motherfucker. Like, he will fucking...
You really don't.
He will murder your fucking career. Like,
I don't want anybody to go through that.
No. And then watching... I watched that whole thing and just watching... They just look sad, bombed out, and depleted, too. After it's just like...
I was like, Jadakiss... Basically, Jadakiss on his own. Fuck the locks.
It really was. Another motherfucker. It really was. It's an honest... Like, you would hear Style P, but like... It was just like...
And who...
One man murder kid.
Who was it? Cameron? Because it was Cameron. Was Cameron, it Joe Santana and Jim Jones?
Joe Santana and Jim Jones. My name is Jim Jones, bro. I don't even know who the rest of them motherfuckers are. Or they just...
Those are the only three ones I know. So I don't get the rest of it. Yeah, I just... I don't... I have no
remember,
idea.
They were tight with Jay-Z, Cody. Remember that shit?
I do kind of remember that. Yeah, Jay-Z had the whole Rockefeller thing going on.
Remember when after Nas murdered him with Ether and Damon Dash and all of them was just like, yo, we were like embarrassed. Dipset came out of there saying, we'll take care of him. Did you ever hear that interview Nas did on Dipset, by the way?
I don't think I had, no.
Oh, It is like perfectly. So they had asked Nas at the time after he got done with Jay-Z and stuff like that. They asked, I think I sent this to Art Lunatic recently, I did. I sent like 2 weeks ago or whatever, because shit is just so, I should have wrote in that YouTube comment. I was like, that was kind of like a burial in itself just by making that comment, nah? So his comment was, after you take out somebody as high up on a totem pole as Jay-Z, why would you bother yourself with something like them? I was like, that
comment. Man is right. No lies detected.
He was, because I think the question was, why did you just ignore them when they were making shots at you and stuff like that? And he was just like,
yeah, they're not worth the energy.
Basically is what he's saying. And then just with that comment alone, I was just like, that felt like a burial itself right there.
I was about to say, yeah.
I love how Nas trying to be nice and diplomatic. And in that one comment, it was just like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, hey, they better be glad they got that treatment. They kind of got ethered.
Yeah, because they could really last for like a year. Right? Nas could have cut that to 9 months. Actually, he might have extended it for him. It might have been longer for him.
God, yeah.
It probably would have been known as the dudes that got ethered. Could you imagine? Like, I don't even like Jay-Z, but could you imagine you a motherfucker named Jim Jones, Cody? You see Jay-Z just get murdered by Nas, and you look at that and go like, I got this. Don't worry.
Say no more.
I got this.
Everybody stand back.
Yeah.
Clear the way.
There's an interview with Jim Jones. I love this interview. It was like, yeah, Nas is coming out with these really deep tracks. And then Jim Jones was like, man, don't nobody want to hear that shit. We want to hear about money and stuff like that. And sure enough, after that interview, I ain't never seen that motherfucker again. I was just like, yeah, that money sure did fade away real quick, didn't it, for you, Mr. Jones there, huh? This motherfucker named himself Jim Jones, people. You know the meaning of that name? Old Kool-Aid ass drinking Jim Jones here. Shit. Like, come on, man. Jim Jones. Did you ever take him as a serious rapper, Cody, in your youth?
I never took any motherfuckers as a serious rapper.
Keep them motherfuckers.
Well played, my friend.
Fucking you know what we should do next year? Top 10 of what worst. Killed hip hop.
That would be fun. Top 10 worst artists.
Top 10 and fucking murder.
Oh man, that would be a hard fucker. That'd be harder than top 10 best artists. It's a ooh man, that pool. Ooh shit, boy. We could do one from like each era if we wanted to.
Oh yeah,
kind of like a block, like it's like the 90s to like the 90 for like 1995, 2000, something like that. So you just pad out the months. It's something crazy. Like that. I don't know.
It's crazy how I can say like DMC fell off. But like never in your right mind would you say when Run DMC was falling off in them 90s or whatever, you would never say that they were the cause of what killed hip hop. They were just making bad albums at the time, whatever. So it's just like you just wrote them off, whatever and shit. Later in the fucking decades though, when people started making bad albums, you started realizing, nah, these motherfuckers didn't contribute, they didn't help, they didn't do shit. They just put this shit. They just took a shovel and got the dirt and just went like right over the casket a little bit more or whatever.
they woke up and realized, hey, I'm an artist. Let me make music. That was it. They just let me just put something out there. Fuck it.
Dipset.
No creativity, nothing.
Ooh, them high school years is what really started killing hip hop. So, and you know, there were some real gems in there too, because you know, you had Lupe Fiasco that came out and stuff like that. And he was he was like, Common was still making albums. So he was just like, oh, and The Roots was still making albums. They came out with The Tipping Point that came out there, and it was just like, that is fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oz was still, Godson had just came out, and stuff. So you just like, yeah, man, it's still hot right now. It's still hot. But that wasn't what killed it, more so because you could slowly see, if you really was a true hip hop head, you could see those type of dudes fading out. And because the high schoolers, your peers, Cody, you could see them rocking the Dipsets and the Lil Wayne's. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you started to realize, like, oh, so Roots is old now, huh? Oh, we ain't playing that now.
Nope.
And that's when the term, when Lupe came out, backpack rap.
I literally think he kind of gave birth to that term. Because literally, that was here, Kick Push came out, and that whole video, that skateboards, that whole entire quote unquote stereotype. I was like, thank Galactus Lupe did it, because fuck him.
Because when Lupe came out, that shit he was rapping about people, that shit wasn't cool in high school. Fucking skateboarding, that's some skateboard crew shit right there and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, what about your white tee, motherfucker?
That motherfucker, remember when Daydreaming came out, that single?
Oh yeah.
That motherfucker was talking about police and robots, Cody. It was
that's such a great fucking song. I love that fucking song.
I think it's the best. He had three singles off that album, but that was the best one off that album. That song is like, especially when you listen to the lyrics of it, it's really
Oh god. Jill Scott's what oh
Scott's perfect. Well, she was old at that time, Cody. Nobody cared about her no more. She was outdated. Where was the Joel Santana to sing that part? He could have did that part. He could have did that or whatever. Yeah.
Who's hot 2006? I remember.
It was Chris Brown. Where's Chris Brown to sing this? Whatever. Jill Scott. Get the fuck out of here. Jill Scott or whatever. I think Cassie came out at that time. Where was she at?
Damn. Forgot about her.
Diddy didn't. He was fucking her.
He sure did. He sure did not.
Yeah, no, he did not. I love how people shat on Diddy for fucking all the people he hired and shit like that. It's just like, what do you think Prince was doing? Like, this is new stories and shit like that. Like,
hey, Prince is just more low key about his shit. Diddy just out. Diddy don't give a fuck.
Yeah, Diddy was taking photos and talking about like, I'm fucking this. Yeah,
man. Yeah,
it's a big Prince difference more though. With his shit. Yeah, because Prince actually looked decent looking or whatever. You look like Diddy. You gotta put that shit on blast. Whatever. Like,
Prince is a pretty motherfucker. You already know. Yeah, that's like,
Come on, shit. That's like Cody and me. You know I'm going to talk about Cassie. Come on, Cody. Like, I'm going to be like, hey, I'm fucking this, dude. Like, you a hater, dude. You ain't fucking this. You fucking Cassie. You got to make that shit known, Cody. You remember that movie we saw? That shitty
I remember that shitty ass movie. Terrible ass, not leading man ass. Yeah, I remember that movie.
Remember that scene with Cassie in the doorway and shit? We was just like,
I was like, oh, finally, I'm awakening this goddamn movie. Thank you.
Remember when Terrence left her?
That was the same one. Paul Powell was like crawling. That was a different one. That was Michael Ealy, right?
But Paula Patton was in it. She was playing the sister, though, to Terrence.
Right, okay, she was in that one. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. Right, she was still in there. Okay.
She was the sister, and remember, he went to Cassie's house or something. Or
okay, house, yeah. And she that was moving all them fine women in there. That's the one. And it was like, everywhere was like a 10 out of 10.
And Terrence was the only single one in there.
It's Los Angeles. This is ridiculous.
And remember, he had that extreme looking house and shit like that too. It was just I swear, black movies, they always there's never no realism to them. Whatever, it's
ain't no realism. To this shit, this shit is GTA Online. That's what the fuck it is.
I ain't got no good looking black friends with good looking black friends that dating good looking people at the same time. Like get out of here. Come on now. Cody, you might have one in your group, but it was like 20 of them.
Remember the fucking Mel lady in that movie? She was fine as fuck. You remember that shit?
always some fantasy shit or whatever. It's just like, yeah.
Like, what is this?
You might got one hot male lady in the whole neighborhood and shit. This motherfucker had two. They was all working at the post office and shit. It's just like, wait a minute.
The whole entire post office.
Fucking DMV had the hottest women in that.
I was about to say, yeah. It's like, God damn, this fucking DMV or Miss America?
And then his house was like all alone on the cliff and shit by himself. And he had the pool. Remember, he had the infinity pool. But he drinking shitty ass 1800 tequila and shit. And he's just like sitting there, just like, man, nobody that's high rolling like.
Oh God, that was the movie with that terrible ass French Montana cameo, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh God, he was fucking awful. Oh, I do remember that shit now. Oh God, that was one of the worst fucking performances I've ever seen in my life. Huh? That motherfucker was terrible. Holy shit. I think his act is worse than his fucking music. I didn't think that shit was possible. I didn't think anything could get more fucking French Montana music. But hey, shit, sure enough. That shit happened.
Oh,
that motherfucker's terrible.
Who was his love interest in that movie? You remember?
Ah, oh, fuck. I forgot.
Maybe it was Cassie. Like, yeah. Maybe Cassie was the main...
Yeah, she was the main one. Yeah, she was the main. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was the main one. Yeah.
It was that scene when she was in lingerie. I just remember, damn. See, that'd be the only way I'd go back to reviewing movies again, if we could talk about them.
Yeah. Kind of movies. Yeah, that shitty ass, quote unquote, sex scene. It was like a PG-13 sex scene.
They had it in the bathroom.
That shit was terrible.
They had it in like a restaurant bathroom and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, we got to go to the bathroom. The door is locked, though. Excuse me, are you in there? And he's like, don't make any noise. And he's like, what is going on right now?
Wait, was that the same movie? Or was that one? I think they started in like the kitchen.
They went to a restaurant too. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The one scene you're talking about. That one when they were in the house.
That shit was terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, remember me and you in the theater, we kept saying, Terrence, move your ass out the way. We tried to see her lingerie. She had like this fine ass black lingerie on.
I was like, Lord.
And Terrence would not let us see this for the life of us.
I was like, Terrence, could you, motherfucker, if you don't move, God.
He is the worst actor I think I've ever, well, I shouldn't say that, but he was fucking off. I was like, he wondered why he ain't no leading man. I was like, Jesus Christ. I didn't believe a god. And the fact that Paula Patton was his sister, I was like, motherfucker, she like 4 inches taller than you. What are you talking about here? Like, they didn't give a fuck, dude. Like, that was when Paula Patton just said, look, I just get phone calls and I just show up now.
You know? That's it.
I mean, remember they had
I was walking by the set. There's like, hey, Cody, you being here real quick?
Remember, Cody, they had her playing the boring, uptight older sister shit like that. Yep. It's just like, she's like the baddest woman in this fucking movie. What are y'all?
And she's actually talented too. It's like, wait, y'all just giving her the bullshit to play. She should have been the main fucking character.
Remember every time saw her though, it was like at like a fucking truck, like with tacos and coffee or something like that, whatever.
This woman
always constantly getting breakfast and lunch or some shit, like at a taco that's truck or something like that.
All she did the whole
fucking movie.
You have time to get tacos.
What was it? You know, I'm gonna look this now up now. I gotta look this now up now, Cody. You didn't got me on this wagon.
You talking the movie?
Yeah.
I think it's called the Perfect Match. Or the Perfect Guy. I remember those two. I forgot if it's the Perfect Match or the Perfect Guy. I think it's the Perfect Match.
He really think he? Yeah, you're right. It's a Perfect Match, man.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Cassie was the original. Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't Christina Milian in that movie?
Was she there? Jesus Christ, she was in there too. Oh. I know she was one of these.
Cody, let me go down the list of the women here. This is
I remember.
This is like. Remember, it was a packed house too, people. If this would have been. I would have had a Pee Wee Herman incident in this fucking movie. may he rest in hell. I mean, peace. It was Cassie, Paula Patton.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Donald Faison was in there. He's married to my girl.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. Your girl was in there. That's right.
Dasha Polenko.
I remember that. Dasha Polenko.
Lauren London.
Jesus, I forgot.
Brandy was in there, too.
Brandy? I totally forgot about that shit.
You remember that one girl? I forgot what she played. Her name was. She was one of the girls at the restaurant where they all were circled around. Her name is Drya Michelle.
That sounds very familiar.
She is fine. Dude. Here you go. Look at it right here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then there's this girl in there named Callie Hawk. Who? That is another one. Oh my lord.
Oh yeah, that shit. Yeah. I know that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Chantel Jeffries was in there. Robin Givens was in there. Cody, even me and Cody was looking at her, still going like, "Damn, she's still fine." Oh, your boy French Montana was in there. Candace Craig, who I didn't know who the hell that was until I looked it up. I was just like, there was a lot of, I remember I was just Googling people. I was just like, I don't know who. Let's just put it this way, Coach. There was not an average woman in this fucking movie.
Nope. None.
They all were either singer or supermodels or whatever the fuck they wanted to be or whatever and shit. Even this woman can get it. Look, even she can get it.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the fuck she is or whatever shit, but she can even get it. Yeah. I don't even know who that is or whatever. Like, I don't even know who this is. And she was in the movie, but hold on. Let me show you her.
Now you got me looking.
Okay, Cody.
Rhea Murphy.
I don't even look at this one right here.
Lord.
Who was that? I don't even know who that was. I remember Donald Faison and my girl. They had like the – they were considered the poor ones out of the relationship.
Oh, yeah. And they had like a fucking three-story house and shit, well-off family.
Remember, they were the only ones that had like the small – they had the smallest house
right.
body.
Yeah.
And remember Donald Faison had Blantons. They were making like they were making like cocktails and shit. And he had how come the one that has the least money in here has like the best burp?
Well, it has the most sense.
And they had like the most normal relationship out of the two of them and shit. Yep. But that's why the camera was never on them that much and shit. Mm-hmm. I was just like, damn, dude, what a movie that was. I remember, I think we probably gave it a C just because of the women.
I think we did.
That movie was fucking horrible. People, what was that called again? The Perfect Match. People, go watch
the
that.
The Perfect Match. Yeah. Damn. Go watch. Just watch it muted. You have a good time.
Cassie, man. That
have a great time.
That chick, dude. She was looking bad. Mind you, people, that's 2016. Cassie came out in like 2004 or 5 or whatever, some shit like that.
Yeah.
We're talking almost, Cody, 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
She looked like she ain't never aged at all.
It nope. Like, at all.
She ain't gained an inch of body fat on her at all.
I don't know what she looks like now. At that time, she looks exactly the same as she did when she first brought out that song.
Yeah, that shitty
album, whatever. Song. Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like Diddy was drugging her the way she was saying. I was like, oh, what's wrong with this girl's voice?
Yeah, like damn.
That's how you know Diddy fucking her. Like, he didn't bring her on for talent. Like, he ain't sing for shit. Like, he can't act either, though. But, yeah. Ain't nobody looking at that. Let me see if I can pull up a clip of your boy French Montana in there.
Why not? Let's go to the show on that. I mean, why not? For a good little trip down memory lane with old French Montana.
That was your boy back then, remember?
So yeah, me and French, we go way back.
He lasted as long as Dipset did. Oh, sorry, I still had this Run DMC thing. Dang it. But this is them at the. By the way, this is that last concert ever. They retired. Calling it quits. I mean, they called it a quits when Jam Master died, passed away. But obviously, they wanted to be here for this show, last ever show. I thought they killed it. They had 32 minutes on stage. I thought it was dope as hell to see them one last time. I thought I was so upset that I wasn't at this show, whatever shit. It seemed like the biggest hip hop show of me and Cody's likes of hip hop. I don't know what the fuck it is today. And I was just like, man, to close it out with Run DMC, Nas, man, that's why I said, Nas, you really are the GOAT. Not because of your own music, but this show you put together. Put every goddamn hair. How many people out here came to see Run DMC? The fact that I can understand him, too, that also helps. You have to understand people. Understanding a rapper today is like translating Braille. To blind, deaf, and a person with no face. It's just that bad now, whatever. My man DMC in the place to be. One more time. Everybody put one hand in the goddamn air. Now check this out. When I say do you feel good, do you get it black in here. Damn. Oh, one of my favorite Run DMC tracks ever. It's called It's Like That. And I thought they killed this track.
For a fresh list of rap, you can actually, you know, understand what the fuck they're talking about.
Really is.
Enunciate.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know the thing about Run DMC, their lyrics wasn't all that deep and nothing like that. It was so simple, and yet it was so good.
Yeah.
God damn, man. Oh, I fucking miss hip hop so fucking much.
Yeah.
You know, when I was watching that show all 8 hours, I was like, man, when all these dudes die. I was like, that shit really.
It truly is. That would truly be the end of an era.
God damn.
Yep.
I hate to say something that bad, but man, wait a minute. The Perfect Match presented by Queen Latifah. Did she direct that movie?
Wait, what? Is she directed? She probably produced it or something like that.
Damn, dude.
I don't think she directed.
I hope not.
I'm pretty.
Because damn, she could make my top 10 list. That's how good of a hip hop artist she was. And her movie career was shit. So.
Which
is a shame because I actually think she's got like presence on camera. So
yeah,
I just think she's never been in a good movie. Here you go, Cody. Cassie.
Yeah,
she's
really some people aren't meant to be in relationships.
Oh, look at that.
I believe everyone's different. So you've never been in a long-term relationship?
No.
I've never been in a short
relationship. That woman ain't never aged at all.
I'm not sure that you look the same, Charlie. I like that about you.
I'm not sure you might say.
Really?
Yeah. He thinks he's so cool.
Fine. No expectations. Yep.
So no strengths, right?
No strengths.
What the fuck are they talking about, Cody?
Nothing at all. The writing is kind of, it's just like,
it's just back and forth.
They're just talking. There's like no like creativity within the dialogue. It's just words.
I love how like in these movies, they make them so incredibly rich and just like out there. But they
got nothing going on. And like they got really with the personality.
And the way
the two most boring fucking leads, bro.
And the way they try to make them relatable to like me and you is they're having a date at Fatburger, Cody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
They drink 1800 tequila, Cody, just like that. We don't actually, but
mm-hmm.
they go to Fatburger and drink 1800 tequila. It doesn't matter about the mansion house on the cliff with the water. Mm-hmm.
They went to Fatburger, bro.
They got the Fatburger, bro, whatever. Everything, even though they dress like they just came out of the fucking Baltair restaurant.
That was, yeah.
The fuck shows up to Fatburger.
Yeah.
My fuck got a full suit on and shit. She
got a nice little dress on. They've been rolling the Fatburger and shit.
Rolling the Fatburger with bags in their hand like they're going to eat that shit. You know, damn well neither one of them eat that shit too, neither.
Yeah. Take a triple XL. Cheese.
They about to dump that shit in the trash can. Cody's like, that shit ain't going far. God damn, dude. Oh, man. Oh, look at this. Netflix got a movie called The Perfect Fine coming out. 3 months. Official trailer. Well, hey. Maybe it's the sequel to The Perfect Match. It's The Perfect Fine.
It's another all-black cast.
Yeah, they black women. So, yeah, I see black women. Okay, so.
But that shit might be a spiritual sequel.
Yeah, hey, we all know Netflix makes shitty movies. So, I mean.
Yes, they do. Oh, God, boy, do they.
So, hey, you know what? One more thing before we get out of here. I'll show you the trailer.
Put your hands together.
All right. Perfect. I forgot how hard it tried to. Jesus Christ, they tried to make this brother look.
That's that dinner sequence. Oh my God. Oh,
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Christ Almighty.
Doesn't he get old? Nope. It stays right around 20.
Wow.
It's not whack.
My little brother, your heart is frozen because of your emotional immaturity.
Oh, what?
Not that shallow.
That woman is. Oh my God, Cody.
Reaction.
My advisor says that I can't engage in any negative facial expressions. So Karen does that for me now.
The fuck?
Oh, God. This motherfucker. Worry about nothing. I forgot Joe Pagliano in this fucking movie. What the fuck?
Remember Cody? He was taking like three women to bed all the time and shit.
Oh yeah. Dude's like Playboy. Almost Playboy. Forgot about that. I forgot how hard they tried to sell him as like a sex symbol and shit.
That dude's
God,
like
my, trying fucking hard.
That dude's like my height, people. Anybody my height is not a sex symbol. I can say that right now. When have you ever heard a woman, Cody, say, yeah, I'm looking for a 5'7" man. Just he got to be five. What's the average height women always say? Oh, yeah, like 5'11", 6 foot or some shit mm-hmm. like that. Ain't never, then they got this short ass motherfucker in here. He about my height, people, whatever shit. And they talking about like, yeah, he a sex symbol and shit like that.
I've never been in a short relationship. I
want to
try something new.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know.
Dude, I really like that every note, man. Come on, guys.
Fucking soundtrack killing me, Cody. Okay. This girl is amazing. When she walks in the room, it's special. Okay, I got to stop right there. When she walks in the room, it's special. Yeah, it's fucking Cassie.
It does.
When they gonna put like an ugly chick in these movies and just be then I'd believe that shit. If he said, yo, when she walk in the room, it's special, I'd be like, all right, that boo really love her then. There ain't a man that ain't listening to this that ain't gonna have Cassie walk to his room or in that swimming pool sequence right there and just say, yeah, she ain't shit. She ain't special.
Mm-hmm.
I'd look at you and be like, well, you don't want her then. I mean, I'll pass it to a friend. Like,
by all means.
Yeah, I mean. And Cody be like, yeah, you can take her. She ain't shit to me. She ain't special. I'd be looking at him like, he must got cancer. He must be dying. he crazy. Look at this one. That Lauren London, too. Jesus.
Perfect. Right.
Oh, my. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's Paula Patton.
Oh, also perfection.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful thing. Those strings, that's what we said. Men can bounce around from woman to woman, but if I do it, I'm a bad person. That's not fair.
They showed a whole goddamn movie in this fucking trailer. Literally, from beginning to end, the story beats and everything is in order. Who the fuck did this?
All the cameos in this.
I mean, great movie, predictable as fuck, but.
God. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
That was perfect match. That was,
you know, if
that was definitely a movie.
If we were still doing the movie stuff, that's probably what we would have been doing during the pandemic, watch alongs with shit like Perfect Match.
Yeah,
like,
what is this? That would have been funny.
Because, like, Jesus Christ. There is such a little niche of those films out there, too, people that, like, people just don't understand how fucking hilarious they are, neither.
Man, we saw some hilarious. That little rug, yeah, around, like, 2016, when all them black, like, you hear, like, the black horror film or the black thriller. Black, like, why did shit go to, yeah, y'all could release this shit on TV One or something. Y'all put this book.
And Cody was always there with me to watch them all.
Yep.
Yeah, I just remember
it was
that
always entertaining.
Just remember that one.
Never a dull moment.
I don't think anyone beats when the detective Inspector Gadget was in it. I don't remember the name of that one, but that shit was like, that shit was a crime thriller.
I don't know what the fuck that turned into. That shit was from 0 to 100. Real fucking quick. That dude was Two-Face. Cast his ass a Harley Dent. That motherfucker flipped.
Remember she faked her death?
Oh my God. Changed her identity and everything.
And then she moved to like the Valley of California.
Yeah.
Full of fine ass people.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Yeah, I think that dryer girl was in there too, if I'm not mistaken. She was in there. I think she was at that restaurant.
Yeah,
right?
She was at the restaurant. She worked at the restaurant. Yeah, like, remember that diner, that shitty diner in the middle of nowhere there she was at? We was just like, where the fuck is this diner at? Yeah. I was like, and then we were
in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
Why in the fuck is this dude strung up on this chick? There's just so many fine people in this goddamn movie. Yeah. It's just like, man, I think that's how people actually think LA is too. You just like going to a fucking restaurant, Cody. Ain't nothing but fine people in that movie. It really ain't.
It's not like that. Yes, like that, there's a lot of people out here, but it ain't like fucking like these goddamn movies. That shit is exaggerated as fuck.
These type of movies right here, you never see ugly people in them. That's the crazy part. You'll never see a
never see ugly people. Everybody got a well-paying job. Ain't nobody struggling. Everybody's doing well.
The streets is clean for some reason, too. Ain't no crime.
Well, except for my fucking committing the movie. You're crazy. But
oh, people. Oh, we going to get out of here now, though. We done. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. That was fun.
Tune in next week for Cody's week and his number 7 on his hip hop list.
That's indeed. That's indeed. I
hope you enjoyed this week. That was funny.
That was funny. That was fun.
I am your Godfather Whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the Godfather Craft Beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.